I've been reading the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, the last two chapters, and I thought I would repeat some of the highlights from that. It begins with Prabhupada returning from his last trip to London, which he made in such a precarious state. He returned to Bombay and stayed there for a while, but then decided to go to Vrindavan. He arrived in Mathura by train, and Brahmananda carried him in his arms to a waiting car, and in 20 minutes they were at Krishna Balaram temple. The devotees were very upset to see Prabhupada in a much deteriorated state from which they'd seen him just 2 months ago. They brought him to his room. The room was exactly the same as it was before, except they'd added a double bed. That bed is still there. And Prabhupada lay down in his bed, and he just closed his eyes, lay on his back, and was silent for 5 minutes. Then Tamal Krishna Maharaj said to him, "Now you're home, Prabhupada." And Prabhupada said, "Thank you." Tamal Krishna said, "You're in the care of Krishna Balaram." So Prabhupada said he wanted to see Krishna Balaram, and he would like to go at 9:30. That was the time that he usually went before when he was in Vrindavan. But his servants convinced him that today he should just rest, and then he could start that routine tomorrow. At this time in Vrindavan, Prabhupada wasn't taking hardly any food or drink, and he wasn't seeing any doctors. And so his mood was that he just wanted to die. And as he said, die peacefully, because to live would produce so many inconveniences in his body. But this made the devotees very sad to hear him talk like this. He wanted to be surrounded by kirtan. The devotees played just one small pair of kartals and sat at his bedside and chanted. Then he called his GBC men from all around the world to come and be with him. And 23 members came. And they were all very sad too, thinking the worst. But Prabhupada received them and was eager to hear their preaching news from their area of the world. And he gave instructions to them, although they had to bend over very closely to hear him. His voice was so low. Hansaduda was one of the first devotees to arrive from Sri Lanka. Prabhupada told him to develop farm communities there, like in New Vrindavan. Hansaduda said, "When we preach that this is a land of Rajarshis, and you've got some woman in control of the country." And Prabhupada corrected him and said, "No," he said, "we should not touch politics. We are culture and philosophy." Brahmananda came from Africa, and again he had to bend over very closely to Prabhupada. Prabhupada told him to work with the different devotees who were there and try to get pushed to Krishna back. And stay in Africa and preach. Kirtananda Swami came from New Vrindavan, and he brought Prabhupada a sapphire ring and a $8,000 check and a golden medallion surrounded with rubies and sapphires. And Prabhupada, when he saw this, he said, "Where's the bride?" And the devotees laughed. And he gave those things back to Kirtananda. He said, you need these, you need the money there. They also bought ice cream. They knew Prabhupada couldn't take it, but they asked him to just taste a little on his tongue. And he took some on his tongue and said, first class. They wanted Prabhupada to come to their palace that they were building and would be finished in the spring. And Prabhupada said, it sounds very nice, but I'm just a bundle of bones. I would like to go there. It's a very nice quarter. And then he said, we will see which palace I am going to. He was particularly interested in Hari Kesh Maharaj's visit because he brought with him books that he had just printed by really pressing the printer to get them done on time. He brought a Krishna trilogy printed in Germany, second canto Srimad Bhagavatam in German, and Yasa Upanishad in Yugoslavian. And at first they didn't let him come into the room with the books. The devotee told him, this isn't the mood we're trying to create here. And he said, what are you, crazy? Prabhupada's books are Prabhupada's life and soul. And he went in with the books. And there was a very emotional scene there when he presented them. Because Hari Krish had been in Vrindavan with Prabhupada as his secretary. And Prabhupada kicked him out. Sent him away. He said, I saw this intelligent boy was simply rotting here, typing. I had so many servants, but he didn't understand at the time when I let him go. Now do you understand? I wanted you to develop preaching in East Europe. And he patted Hari Kesh on the head, and Hari Kesh was sobbing. And he said, now you just have to get healthy, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, healthy? I have nothing to do with this body. Atreya Rishi came from Iran, invited Prabhupada there, but Prabhupada said that in this condition he couldn't travel. But he was glad to hear the reports of the preaching they were doing there. So everyone came and presented their good news and became saddened to see Prabhupada's condition. He was so thin. His ribs were all showing and his face was all gaunt, as you've seen in those films, The Last Days. And but moreover, to hear his resolution to not take food and drink. Once Upendra asked him, why won't you drink water? And he was his intimate body servant. And Prabhupada said, I don't have an inclination. And the devotees couldn't force Prabhupada. Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, Prabhupada, I don't know what's going to happen if you don't eat and drink. And you're just, it's up to Krishna, but I don't see how you're going to be able to stay in this world. He said, I don't want. I just want to leave. So they all accepted that, but they tried to take it philosophically. Rupanuga said, Prabhupada is like an ambassador from another country. And now after being in this foreign country for a while, he's going back to his homeland. Another devotee said, Prabhupada has better friends in the spiritual world than us here. He's going back to them. So one day he was with Abhirama and some other devotees, and they asked him if he would like to take a drink of water. And he said, you can discuss. He seemed to be saying more than just what were the merits of drinking a glass of water, but discuss about his survival. Abhiram said, discuss? Discuss what? He said, about my survival. And then he said, in a different mood, he said, Krishna has given me free choice to do as I will. So this really startled the devotees. This was a different kind of expression. And they went, the GBC men and senior sannyasis gathered outside his room. And they were excited by Prabhupada saying that he had the free will to live or not. Not that he had to die. So Kirtananda Swami spoke up and said, if Prabhupada has the independence to live, then we have independent to ask him to stay. And then Brahmananda, when Prabhupada had said, I can stay, I have the independence to stay, Brahmananda answered in a resigned way. He said, Prabhupada, you can live or die, it doesn't matter. We'll go on carrying out your instructions. But now he felt really bad to have said that when Prabhupada said he had the independence to stay. And he said, we should ask Prabhupada to stay at least 10 more years and finish the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to understand that we need Prabhupada. We can't live without him. Someone said, but all the GBC men aren't here. He said, well, what GBC man is going to say that Prabhupada shouldn't stay? So they went back into his room, gathered around his bed, and he was still, but he was aware of their presence. They made Kirtananda the spokesperson. He said, who's there? And they said, it was Kirtananda. But he was too emotional to speak. Brahmananda was rubbing him his back, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was coaxing him to come on and speak. And finally, he was so emotionally charged he couldn't speak. But finally he said, Prabhupada, we need you. You have said that you could choose to stay, so please stay with us. And Prabhupada said, is that your decision? You have discussed, and he moved his hand in the air, meaning all of you. And then Brahmananda spoke up and said, yes, Prabhupada, you must stay in this world and finish Srimad Bhagavatam and live at least 10 more years. You haven't finished your work. When he said, you haven't finished your work, Prabhupada said, no. But he became silent and made humming sounds, and it was as if he was consulting Krishna within himself, hearing their plea to stay. And then finally, in an almost anticlimactic way, he yawned, showing his gold teeth, and said, all right. And it was the most casual decision to live that had ever been expressed, the way he said it. He said, if this is real affection, which you are showing to me. And then he said, I'll take something to drink. So he sat up and he drank a full glass of juice in front of everyone. And then he said, you have strawberries? Tamal Krishna said, yes, you have very nice strawberries. He said, give me some strawberries. And he said, Hare Krishna. And everyone said, Hare Krishna, Jai Prabhupada. And Prabhupada had changed, and the devotees had changed, and the whole mood lifted up that had been pervading Vrindavan, this gloom. And he had shown them, he was showing them how to die step by step up to this point, but now he was showing something beyond that, how to live by love, how their love could keep him in the world. But nevertheless, Prabhupada remained surrendered to Krishna's will. There was a conflict between the devotees' desire to keep Prabhupada in the world, his desire to stay, and Krishna's will. Sometimes there appears to be a loving conflict between Krishna and his pure devotee. Like when Mother Yasoda quarrels with Krishna and ties him up, and then he allows her to tie him up. But there's not really a conflict, there's just a oneness of interest expressed sometimes in a conflict. So Prabhupada was asked to stay in the world, but when would they ever be willing to let him go? When would they ever be mature? And when would ISKCON's enemies ever be gone, that they could say that now is the time you can leave? So inevitably he had to show them the other final lesson and get back to it sooner or later, showing them how to die. The devotees and the GBC men went back to their positions in the world. Life went on in Vrindavan. But gradually Prabhupada turned again toward not eating and drinking and talking about not wanting to stay. When devotees around the world heard that Prabhupada was again sinking, many of them came back again to be with him. There was another incident that took place at this time, so at the very end, Lokanath Swami was telling Prabhupada about his successful bullock cart program. They had taken a bullock cart to holy places and chanted. And Prabhupada said, "Take me on a bullock cart ride. I'll go around Govardhan. Tomorrow was Govardhan Puj." He said, "You can take me then." So right away there was a division among the devotees about whether this should be done or not. Some said it was the order of the spiritual master and should be carried out at once without question. It was Lokanath and Hamsaduta and some others. But Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Bhavananda, Bhakti Charu Swami, and others like Upendra, those who were more his bodily servants in the Kaviraj, said that Prabhupada's condition could not bear going over those bad roads. The jolting of the cart would finish him off within a short time. But Lokanath went out and rented the bullock cart and the bull, and they had it ready for the next day. Prabhupada said, "It'll be very nice. We'll have a picnic. We can cook out there, and it'll be very auspicious." that evening he was sitting with Niskanchana Das Babaji, who was chanting and talking with Prabhupada, when suddenly Tamal Krishna and Bhavananda came rushing into the room in great anxiety. And they were crying. And Prabhupada understood. He said, "You do not want me to go?" And Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, "Prabhupada, well, I was just sitting up in my room and walking around, and I can't stand this. Why are you throwing everything out the window just for this one thing tomorrow? If anybody wants you to travel, I want you to travel. But not under these conditions. They say that the road is very bad. You put us in such anxiety." And Bhavananda said he was in great anxiety. And Prabhupada said, "I don't want to put you into anxiety." He said, "Then I won't go. Are you satisfied?" They said, "Yes, Prabhupada. We're going. You're making us mad in our anxiety to take care of you." And Prabhupada turned to Niskanchana Das Babaji and said, "Just see how they love me." He said, "That is my duty." He meant his duty was to draw his affection from his disciples so that he could not keep it himself but give it to Krishna, so that bullock cart ride was cancelled. Then on November 14th at 7:30 p.m. Prabhupada left his body in his bed in Krishna Balaram Mandir under ideal circumstances. Vrindavan is the best place. Just a few days ago the daughter of a disciple had died in Vrindavan, and the devotees asked if she went back to Godhead. Prabhupada said, "If someone dies in Vrindavan, they are liberated." Of course, wherever you think of Krishna, that's Vrindavan. Advaitacharya said of Lord Chaitanya, "Wherever you are, that is Vrindavan." In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Whatever you think of at the time of death, you will attain that." But Vrindavan is the quintessential place of Krishna consciousness, so Prabhupada set that example, that he left Vrindavan. Some sadhus take the vow never to leave Vrindavan. But he left Vrindavan and risked his life all over the world. New York City, all the European cities, and Moscow and everything. But then when it was time to die, he came back to Vrindavan and left during Kartik. And he was ideal also in that he didn't make any special mystical occurrences happen at the time of his death. He just died very peacefully and was surrounded by a room of devotees chanting Hare Krishna. It's not that only a few devotees tended Prabhupada's body. He allowed everyone to come into his room and massage him, and to sit and chant as long as they wanted at his feet. So in his very last hours, on his last day, the room was filled with devotees, men and women. They were all chanting very strong, heartfelt kirtan for hours. So devotees were reminded about the passing away of Bhishma, who said, "Now that I am passing away, I am so fortunate that Krishna has come before me just to assure my final destination." And Prabhupada had the presence of the Nama Avatar in the association of devotees. So he left in that way. So for Prabhupada, it was not a sad occasion, it was a happy occasion. But for the devotees, they were struck with grief when the powerful news spread around the world. All devotees, they felt such separation, they cried, felt loss that their well-wisher was gone, the well-wisher for the world was gone. But nevertheless, they carried on with their duties, and they discovered the highest stage of Krishna consciousness, serving in separation, in the relationship of Krishna and the gopis. When the gopis are with Krishna, they feel his union. When he's not there, they still feel his union. They feel he is present by their remembering him. But at the same time, there's the addition of separation. So they feel union and separation. It's called vipralamba. And that's considered the highest ecstatic state. So the devotees of Prabhupada, by being able to continue in the following days their service to him, felt this serving in separation, not theoretically, but as a very palpable reality, that they were able to do their work, and the temples continued, and he was still in charge. I wrote an epilogue to the Prabhupada Lilamrita saying that Prabhupada was not just a guru for one generation of disciples, but anyone in the future can become his follower by reading his books and following his instructions. And this is meant to continue for thousands of years, because he's a Jagat Guru. Prabhupada's samadhi, his holy form, is buried in Vrindavan, and now a beautiful Prabhupada samadhi mandir is constructed around it. Devotees can go there, as well as the Pushpa samadhi in Mayapur, and be with him there. But he's present in all the ISKCON centers, and is even here. We have a Prabhupada Murti, and he's in the hearts of devotees anywhere who love him and are grateful to him. We're grateful that he has taken us out of our material lives. What we were doing before we came to Krishna consciousness and what we're doing now is so different. For myself, I know I'd be dead by now, or a person with very atrocious karma and disappointed dreams. But instead, I'm blessed by being in the Krishna consciousness movement, for all the inconveniences I may feel and all the failings I have, I know I'm under his shelter. I'm very grateful. This is the disappearance day of Prabhupada. We observed the appearance day. Prabhupada in one lecture said they're not different. The appearance and the disappearance of the Guru are the same. He comes into this world for a certain purpose and then he leaves. And his coming and going are transcendental. But there's a different mood on the disappearance day. If we remember the pangs of his leaving the world, but remember those last days. It's a little more solemn. But it should not be a funereal kind of observance. It's a happy occasion. Just remembering that Prabhupada came, stayed, and left when he wanted. Left when Krishna wanted, and gave us all these treasures to spend many lifetimes following his instructions in Krishna consciousness. Do you want to speak anything?
Oh, I think you said everything anyone wants to hear.